Thank you, Jim. Well, I got news for Jim. When I was real little, I was kind of scared of myself sometimes. There were moments. I do know that the Stone Church probably and the auditorium here probably wish they knew when I was in town. I didn't do some good things sometimes. Well, last night when I was preparing for my sermon, I was led in a direction I wasn't really too excited about. And it was concerning the foundation we build in this gospel and in this life. And then after I listened to a extremely interesting, I think it was called a lesson. Man, it was much more than that. Went over to East Local and we had an hour of lesson on the church history and our history and our lives from birth to the final judgment. We ate they changed their potluck to that day instead of the second Sunday, and then we had another hour to complete it. And I was really, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I don't even know how to tie my sermon in, because you see, I don't have 2 hours. I'm not privileged like some people. But I was drawn to some scriptures that are important, need to be important to us. And we need to be aware of, you know, I don't want to say dangers, but there are dangers. And I'd like to turn to the 7th chapter of Matthew for my opening scripture. And I'd like to start with the 15th verse. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do not men gather grapes of thorn or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. This is just part of what I'm going to read here, but I want to make a comment. We were told a lot today in our lesson about choices we make. Now, there are people in this world that don't have the knowledge, but it was pointed out to us, every man knows good from evil. And there is an ability to make choices. And we don't have to be an Adam and Eve and fall for the lies in this world. We need to know that the devil is trying everything in the world to get us distracted and off track. And the choices we make end up in where we end up. It's like Bob said this morning, everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. Choices we make tell us where. Continue in the 21st verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, why is that? Very next sentence. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Real quick, because the Lord has instructed me that every time I preach, I turn to the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew. Some of you know what I'm going to read. Some of you haven't heard me preach in a while, and I'm going to go back to this 7th chapter, so don't lose your place. Jesus, in the 37th verse of the 22nd chapter, Jesus said, okay, first of all, I'm going to read the 36th verse. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You can have works of prophecy, of healing, but if you don't pay attention to those two commandments, and I want to tell you, you cannot please God without serving mankind. It is impossible to please God without serving mankind. It's all through the scriptures. But back, I digress, but I want you to know there's a reason why this is, says here, they cast out devils, we prophesied in thy name. And he said to them, I know you not. So be careful. Put first things first. Make sure God is satisfied. And then make sure you serve God by serving your mankind. If you have to worry about what day it is, your focus is wrong. Every day you're in the service of God and your fellow man. Every chance you get. Twenty-fourth verse. And this is really what I was drawn to when I first started studying. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon the rock. A rock, it says. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And was it an easy fall? It says, and great was the fall thereof. How many of you have seen the news clips of these beach houses? It's a mess, isn't it? You got choices like it was presented to us today. You can pay attention to what's being said to you. Every time you come into this building, every time you meet with saints, every time you read the scriptures, there's instruction on how to build on a solid, solid, solid foundation. I'm going to read out of the Book of Mormon. Third Nephi, 5th chapter. Does anybody know what I'm going to read? Nobody can read my mind? Well, I read... Okay, it's on page 635 if you're interested. I'm going to read with starting the 40th verse, because this is just a small tidbit of what Christ wants us to do. It's important, though. And again, I say unto you, you must repent and be baptized in my name, and became as a little child, for he can no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this, build upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And whosoever shall declare more or less than this, and establish it for my doctrine, the same cometh of evil and is not built upon my rock, but he buildeth upon a sandy foundation, and the gates of hell standeth open to receive such when the floods come and the winds beat upon them. Gee, I wonder why there's suicide in this country, in this world. I wonder why there's alcoholism. I wonder why they can't shut down the crack and the cocaine and the heroin. Because people have no solid foundation. They have no hope of anything. But I want to tell you, I am looking at a privileged, way deeper than we understand how much we have here. The parable of the pearl. We've got the pearl. It is unfathomable. What he has given us, the knowledge we have. Oh, what a terrible thing if we squander it. If we don't have Jesus Christ as our foundation, our cornerstone, and we don't, you know, last week was it? Darren kept telling us, obey the commandments. Obey the commandments. You hear it all the time. You also hear, well, I'm only human. I can't do it. Yes, you can. You know how you can? There's a key phrase in the Book of Mormon I read here. I'm not talking about repentance is part of it, but that's not the first step. Does anybody know what the first, very first thing an unbeliever has to do to come toward Christ? Pardon? Repent. That's not the first step. Humility. Nothing is done unless you come as a little child and humble yourself. You can't receive instruction from the Holy Ghost. You can't even do what the secular world says and really believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior without humility. Repentance is impossible for mankind to really seriously put into action unless he has humbled himself as a little child. There's nothing we can do. You know, there's a lot of, I looked at different avenues going out on this sandy foundation and this solid foundation, and I like to explore a couple of them. And it's not really my intent to, well, I just want to explore a couple these avenues and see what you think. And there's nothing, I'm not preaching a doctrine, my doctrine. I just want to tell you how I've felt for a long time about something. And that's the sacrament. Ooh. Everybody, sometimes it's kind of scary, isn't it? That we treat and we act like a great thing like a sacrament is just a common thing. It's not. But our dear brother this morning emphasized the importance of the Church of Christ. What was it supposed to do, Bob? We're supposed to build each other up, meet together often, I call it edify. The ministry's supposed to do that. We're supposed to edify. It said we're meet together often to partake the sacrament. I think one of the ways we kind of let ourselves get slack is we let the traditions of man override the Holy Spirit. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not knocking anything. Don't get me wrong. But if I understand that, I wasn't there, so if I'm wrong, I need to be told. But it seems like in the 20s and 30s, a lot of members from a reorganized church came over. And they brought a tradition, and the tradition was we have sacrament the first Sunday. And it's gotten to be where that's kind of in stone. And I disagree with that. Not that we shouldn't have sacrament on the first Sunday, but I think it should be part of our lives, and it should maybe be as often as we meet. Oh, it might have to change its format a little, but it's possible to do it. I heard somebody say, oh, we'd get complacent and tired of it. Oh, I don't believe so. I believe God's stronger than that. I believe God has more influence of the Holy Spirit than that. If you come here with a complacent spirit, guess what? But if you come here hoping and praying that you will grow and that you will be fed, it will happen. But that's just one little thing that is not absolutely throw yourselves over the cliff on. It's just not something to, I wouldn't make an enemy in here for that. On that belief of mine, it's just that I've felt for a long time we miss out a lot because we limit ourselves to just a sacrament once a month. I'm not even getting into the wine and grape juice part of it because I think we're very obstinate and prideful when we do that, when we tell God what it's supposed to be. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, but that's just what I see. Maybe again, that's my beliefs. But traditions sometimes are good, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just neither, it's just kind of neutral. I want to turn to, page 775. Book of Moroni, 10th chapter. You know, there's a scripture here that we a lot of times when we're trying to get someone to give the Book of Mormon a look or a fair shake, we use. And I'd like to just read this, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit and some other things. It's in the third verse of the 10th chapter of the Book of Moroni, page 775. Behold, I would exhort you. Now, before I go any further, I want to read the dictionary's definition of exhort, because this is not just saying I want to give you a little casual advice here. I don't want to give you my opinion. That's not what he's saying. The dictionary says to urge, advise, or caution earnestly, admonish urgently, encourage greatly. So this man is saying, take this serious. That's my encouragement to you, is to be serious when you read these things. I would exhort you that when ye shall read these things, that if it be wisdom in God that ye should read them, that ye would remember how merciful the Lord has been unto the children of men, from the creation of Adam, even down until the time that ye shall receive these things and ponder it into your heart. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort twice that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And before I go any further, if you don't approach the scriptures, every scripture you read with that attitude, you're liable to put your own spin on it or miss something very important. Right or wrong, I believe it's right. You need to talk to me later if you think I'm way off base. But I believe unless you approach the scriptures, you approach prayer service, you approach a sacrament, you approach anything you do in life without asking God for guidance and what is right, then we are liable to make big mistakes. But it goes on. And if you shall ask with a sincere heart and real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it into you by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost, ye may know the truth of all things. Now, it goes right back to what Bob said this morning in his sermon. It's your choice. But here he's saying, he's asking you, if you approach God, do it with a sincere heart. Don't do it lighthearted or frivolous and with real intent. And I'll tell you what that means to me. This has happened to me in life, you know. Somebody come up to me one time, I had a car I was selling. Say I want $1,000 for this car. I'll be here tomorrow with $1,000. Hold the car for me. You never see him again. Now, I want to tell you, if you ask God for guidance with a sincere heart, you better be intent on following that guidance. Because it doesn't do, in fact, it does you more harm. Think about it. If God tells you to do something and you refuse to do it or ignore it, that's dangerous. Very dangerous. I don't know how many times, I would like to just real fast in this chapter, I want to go through the times he exhorts us. Because this is for anyone who reads this later. This isn't just for a group of people that we don't know. This is for anybody that wants to know. But he says in the 8th verse, I exhort you, my brethren. And again I exhort you, my brethren, that you not be, deny not the gifts of God. To 13th verse. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. 14th, I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that you remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 22nd, and I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I lie not, for ye shall see me at the bar of God. And the Lord will say, did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, like one crying from the dead? Oh, my brothers and sisters, we're being told over and over and over and over again through these two books and through the Holy Spirit, you better start obeying the commandments of God to the point where you are so different that you don't even have to preach it. I believe that's possible. One more exhorting here, I believe. In the 27th verse, I'm going to read a little bit here because I want to talk about this a little bit. And again, I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay a hold of every good gift, and touch not the evil gift or the unclean thing. How in the world do you do that? How do you have the strength as a human being? I mean, it doesn't say just the big unclean things. And touch not the evil gift, nor the unclean thing. It covers everything. in my mind, covers everything. How do you do that? It's overwhelming if you do it on your own. I'm going to tell you what the next verse says to me. I'm going to read it here in a minute. But it's, in a prophetic way, this next verse is giving us a way to how we can be unconfounded, unpuzzled, free of the burden of sin. The next couple of verses, I'm going to read two or three more. Sorry, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk about them. And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments. Now, I want to tell you, it's got Jerusalem in there, but he's talking to us. Pull your... I heard an odd testimony one time, and I'm going to share it with you. It wasn't even from a person in the Church of Christ, but it was. I liked it because it hit a chord to me. This person was always grouching and grousing and complaining. There were kids at the table. The kids were kind of young. And one time one of them knocked over some milk and it was a race to beat the milk to that crack in the table, you know. Because once it gets in there, man, it's a big cleanup. Well, she was under the table cleaning the milk up. And she was, you kidding me? And she felt the Holy Spirit talk to her. And she says, you know what? That milk isn't going to run up the table and put itself back in the glass because you're grouching. Now, every one of us have problems. And you can be down in the dirt and sad and complaining and moaning and groaning. Or you can do what it says here and pick yourself up and say, God is my Savior. God is my strength. God is my joy. And Jesus Christ has a way for me to get out of this mess. And I believe he is true and faithful in all things. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, you need to believe it. You need to find out why you don't believe it. And come to the realization there is no reason you can't be a strong warrior in Christ. And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem, yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes, enlarge thy borders forever, that thou may no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal Father, which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Now, you know, I used to read that and think that was a future. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe we can put on beautiful garments. You know, we can be sad and not show it. I'm not talking about being phony. We don't have to let the sadness wear us down. We don't have to let the sadness project to where it affects other people and they're worried about us. We don't have to be a negative attitude in our lives. Strengthen thy stakes. Now, how in the world do you do that? Oh, the plan's right here, brothers and sisters. Every one of us here can strengthen. You may have been coming to this Church of Christ for 40, 50 years, but you can grow stronger if you take the right steps. You can strengthen your life. Bob this morning emphasized one of the great ways you can do it, and that's be here. Be here. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you, I heard a testimony. I wish I could remember which one of the case girls gave this testimony. She was in college. She got a tape of a sermon from Don McAndrew, and she loaned it. Was that your daughter? She loaned it to some friends. And that girl come back and said, I wish I had a friend that cared that much for me. Just from a tape, she realized there was love there. And just, I guess it was your daughter? Yeah, Audrey? Was it Audrey? Yeah. And what'd you say, Audrey? You say, I got dozens of friends like that. Oh, my gosh! why wouldn't you use that friendship to strengthen yourself? And it's not being abusive to your friends. It's what we're supposed to do. Because they're doing the same thing with us. They're using our strengths to help them. Because I got news for you. I am not, none of us are the same. We all have strengths. And we need each other. I know for a fact, one of the doctrines and beliefs this church has saved that little girl right there. Because I believe in guardian angels. And I believe when we blessed that, had that child blessed, it came back as a blessing. And it does every day of our lives. This place is a house of strength or a house to be stayed away from. Jim and Randy and I and Bonnie was they were over earlier, and Bonnie tried to call her sister, was it? And she said sometimes she has a habit of just not answering if she doesn't want to talk to you. Don't do that to this church. Don't do that with this church. Don't do that with these friends you have. Don't do that with these brothers and sisters. I want to tell you, I don't have. This is going to sound terrible, but you're going to have to take it with a seed of love I give it. But I don't have a blood relative that I would depend on as much as I depend on you folks. Now, you don't, I know, that is, doesn't mean I don't love my family, and I don't love a lot of my relatives. Now, Darla isn't a blood relative, she's a wife. So, she doesn't count. I'll pay for that one later, huh? Yeah, but Bob said, yeah. There's no one here that I wouldn't trust. But I want to tell you something. If we don't use the tools we have to strengthen ourselves and fight against Satan, the covenants he's got laid out here, he says that the covenants of the eternal Father, which is he has made to thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. It's just like if someone is giving you a year's free gas, but you never go collect it. What good is it? There are covenants out here that are promised to us. He is made to us. But if we don't receive them in the proper way, they're useless to us. They're still there. They'll never be taken away. But it's just like Christ died and his blood was shed for us. But if we don't comply and accept that sacrifice in the proper way, it's useless. It's wasted. Does that make sense? Because I want to tell you something. You cannot just walk in a door and say, I accept Jesus Christ, and it's the blood applies. That's the start. That's the start. I don't want to get myself dug into it. You know, I saw a sign over here on Chrysler the other day that says, if you're in a deep hole, quit digging. So maybe I better quit talking about that. I don't want to get into this. Okay, on the 29th verse. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him. Now, wait a minute. Perfected? I've been told you can't be perfect. That's man speaking. Because Christ would not tell us to become perfect and say, come unto him and be perfected if it wasn't possible. Every person in here has the opportunity to walk out this door as white as snow. Clean. Pure. And if a lightning struck you, and you're in a cloud in the sky, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. If lightning struck you, At that moment, guess where you end up? At the throne, in paradise right now, right, Bob? And later, before the throne of God, to spend an eternity with him. But you have to make, you've got to be perfected through Christ. Yea, come into Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourself of all ungodliness. You know, we like to read that scripture, and I've mentioned this before, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You like that one? Well, you know what it says just before that? Submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. This is a two-part commandment. You got to comply to God's will and you got to resist the temptations, and he provides the way and the strength to do it. He really does. Deny yourself of all ungodliness, and if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, guess what? Then his grace is sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ. You can no wise deny the power of God. 30th verse. And if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not his power, then ye are sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, into the remission of your sins, and you become holy without spot. Every day in our lives, we have that opportunity to be holy and without spot. Everything you do has to be with humility, because without that, we do it on our own, and if we do it on our own, we're not without spot. We can't do it on our own. I urge you, I beg you, to strengthen your borders. Put on beautiful garments. Be a holy people. You know, I know a lot of people that, if they'd have heard Bob's lesson today, they would have poo-pawed it, because there's a lot of good people out in this world, and that's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about holiness and righteousness and submissiveness. There's just so many scriptures. It just can't be done in just any way. It just can't be a free-for-all. I want to thank you for your time. I hope I've made some sense tonight. I couldn't tie it into your scriptures, your sermon at all, your lesson. I just couldn't do it. I struggled, but I just didn't know how to do it. But I don't know that it was necessary to go too far into your lesson, because it was on its own merits. All I know is when I heard it, like I said, when I was studying and I was led this direction, I wasn't real excited about it. When I heard your lesson this morning, I was excited.
Norman, it might help if I just offer you one piece.
Okay. I'm willing to listen to anybody. Yeah, you're right. You didn't. You could have diverted in a lot of different paths, but you didn't. I appreciate that.
I did too, because it's what God wants
of us. Yeah. And that's why I made emphasis about the sacrament. It wasn't a criticism. It was just an observation that I think we could improve our lives by having it a little more often. As the Spirit, I don't want to do anything without Spirit's guidance. Just change, to change a program is just a change, is not the answer. That's not what I mean. I mean, through the Holy Spirit, we need to look for change. And I said to you after, I said, I'm glad, maybe it wasn't you, maybe it was Buzz, one of you characters over there. I said, I'm glad the Church of Christ doesn't change quickly. We don't jump at every whim and shadow. I hope it's because we're based on solid ground. And I believe it. I believe we've got everything we need right here to be successful spiritually. We just, as individuals, really need to grow. And how do you do that? You think about it. Get his CD. I got it. I know people can make copies if you want it. I got his CD of your sermon. And you just listen to what it says. And he has laid out the whole plan from birth to end. And why we're here. You know, you hear that question all the time. Why was I born? I know what Christ wants. And if you're involved in Christ, you want what he wants. You know what Christ wants? I've said this before too. He wants to save souls. And he wants you, every one of you, no matter how timid you are, how bold you are, if you think you're clumsy, whatever. It doesn't matter. You have a place in this plan to spread this gospel. You can be part of this plan. You need to be part of it. I want to thank you for your time.